Joining us now, Pro Football Hall of Famer, former Steeler, former Baltimore Raven, Rod Woodson. Rod, really appreciate you taking the time, and I want to start you off with a question about another great cornerback, and that is Darrell Revis. You ever seen anybody who reminds you of this guy, and how do you attack him? Do you attack him if you're the Steelers?
Well, I think you take your shot. I think you got to know his weaknesses. Most elite corners, every decade, every 10 years, you have a corner that stands out above the rest, and he plays just like all the other guys that come through. Like the Deion Sanders and the Albert Lewis's and the Frank Minifields, the Mike Haynes of the world. I think the way you attack somebody like that is that you got to run away from him horizontally, not vertically, but horizontally. So that means you get him through traffic, try to get him rubbed off, and that way you can try to make some plays. But when you try to beat him vertically or beat him on something on the outside toward the sidelines, it normally does not work.
Well, Rod, you didn't see a lot of balls on a given day back when you were playing, I'm sure, because people wanted to stay away from you, yet you still found a way to make big plays going the other way. So one thing that stands out about Revis, as great as he is no interceptions so far this season, and so obviously no touchdowns or anything like that. What do you make of that?
Well, he's a corner that he's not getting a lot of opportunities this year. But like I said, in the elite corners, they have a five or six-year window where they don't get a lot of balls thrown at them. Deion Sanders, myself, Mike Haynes, Lester Hayes, and Frank Minifield, and Albert Lewis, all the guys. I can name out a whole bunch of them. They all go through the same thing. But somewhere along the line, you have to find a way to get your hands on balls. That means you have to start baiting quarterbacks. If he's just going to press guys, then they won't throw it. So he has to find a way where he can start baiting quarterbacks to become even more valuable by getting picks and hopefully return them for some yardage and putting the offense on a short field.
Rod, let me ask you about a cornerback on the other team who I think has been underrated and really good, even though clearly the one flaw in his game is he doesn't have great hands. That's Ike Taylor. What do you make of him?
Well, I remember, looking at Ike really good a couple years ago. And I thought a couple years ago Ike was going to have a breakout year for himself and the team, and it didn't happen. And I think that's the key, he doesn't have great hands. He drops a lot of balls that come his way. And maybe that's the downfall of, being the elite corner, putting him in that status. And also, he has a different style than Revis or Nnamdi Asamoah. He doesn't play press every down because it's not asked of him to do that within the system that he plays. So, but I think that Ike has played well within the system that Dick LeBeau has implemented with Pittsburgh, and as long as those corners can play good in Pittsburgh, the defense will be good in Pittsburgh, because when you do all those fire zones, that's more like man-to-man than it is zone.
Talking to Pro Football Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Rod Woodson here on Seibel and Starkey. And Rod, let me ask you this. Which of these wide receivers would cause the most concern for you as a defensive back? Mike Wallace, Braylon Edwards, or Santonio Holmes? Or I'll throw in Hines Ward as well.
Well, I don't think Hines, in this stage of his career, will put a lot of fear in you, but he's still wily. He's still a vet. He still understands how to get open in coverages. I would think out of all of them, it would be Mike Wallace because of his top-end speed, and he's quick, just as he is fast. You look at Braylon Edwards, he's a big physical receiver. He's really not going to run away from a lot of corners, especially the elite corners in the league. But a Mike Wallace, he definitely can. I mean, when he puts it into fifth gear, he's moving. So I look at Mike, and he's quick out of his break. He creates separation from the defenders, and that always causes problems for any cornerback in the league.
Rod, you spent time with Rex Ryan. He was the line coach in Baltimore when you were there. You spent a lot of time with Dick LeBeau. So there's two defensive masterminds drawing up game plans here for this game. I'm curious. I want to put you in the defensive meeting room. How are you attacking Mark Sanchez and how are you attacking Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, I don't think Pittsburgh really changes their game plan. I mean, they put pressure on the quarterback. The great thing about Pittsburgh is they have outside rushers who can get after the quarterback with a four-man rush. They don't have to bring a full-out blitz to get the pressure. Where on the flip turn of that, you look at the Jets, they've struggled to manufacture sacks and pressure on a consistent basis if they don't bring pressure, because, you know, Calvin Pace and Jason Taylor really hasn't had a consistent pressure on the quarterback through all 16 games. So I can see where Rex is going to try to dial up some blitzes, because, you know, on the negative side of Ben is that he's been the most sacked quarterback in the last 3 years in the National Football League. And part blame is the offensive line. Part of that is Ben himself. So I can see where Rex is going to try to dial up some blitzes and get some hits on Ben, and hopefully he can make some air throws or fumble the football like he will try to do. But I don't think Dick LeBeau is really going to change his game plan against Mark Sanchez. I think he's going to call a regular game plan. That when they played him the first time around, that game plan was good enough to win. Unfortunately, Brad Smith returned a kick for a touchdown and had a safety against the offense. So 9 points was scored without the defense being on the field. I don't think that happens again. So if you're Pittsburgh, you have to like your chances.
Be honest now, Rod. If you were going up against Mark Sanchez here, second-year quarterback in this situation, would you be licking your chops a little bit?
You would. You always like playing against young quarterbacks. You know, Mark he's played well. He has been inconsistent, even though he did have a good week last week. But you know, the New England's defense is not like the Pittsburgh Steelers' defense. So you would have to be ready to play against a young quarterback, thinking he's going to make a couple air throws, and then you have to take advantage of them.
Rod, do you already consider? And we're talking to Rod Woodson, by the way, on Seibel and Starkey. Do you already consider Big Ben's legacy to be secure in some ways? I mean, he's already a Hall of Fame quarterback. Where do you put him among the greats in the game right now?
No, I don't put him with the Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I don't put him in that category. I think there's a Hall of Fame quarterback that just retired in Brett Favre. I think there's one playing right now that's automatically in the Hall of Fame when he retires, and that's Peyton Manning. You know, I know Tom Brady is right in that argument also. I think more than likely he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Ben is one of those guys, when you start talking about top five quarterbacks in this league, normally you don't put Ben in that top five for whatever odd reason. And maybe it's because of the style that they play in Pittsburgh. You know, I know he does throw the ball a lot, but he makes a lot of, you know, he gets sacked a lot. He will have some fumbles. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but, you know, for some reason, not just myself, but just people in general, ex-players, when they talk about elite quarterbacks today, Ben's not in the top five. Even though he does have a winning record, you know, he's won a couple of Super Bowls, and he has his team poised to go to another Super Bowl. You know, I think if he goes to this Super Bowl and he plays well again like he did the last time against Arizona, that will solidify who he is as a quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because it seems like this is an important game for his legacy, because you're looking at a Jets team that shut down Peyton Manning, that embarrassed Tom Brady. Now, all of a sudden, if Ben beats them, I would think that would open some of the eyes of the people you're talking about who don't consider him elite right now. They would almost have to at that point, right?
Well, I definitely think so. It depends on how they win. You know, if they win 10-13, Ben will get the credit, but the defense really won the game. You know, so I think it depends on how they win. You know, Mark Sanchez played well against New England. You know, so I think when you look at the game, if the game is like a, you know, 12-10 or something of that nature, the quarterback's going to get the win at the end of the day, but really it's the defense that won the game. So I really think you have to be cautious about the win-losses and see how he played within the scheme of the game.
Last question, Rob, we'll let you go, is a prediction on the game.
No, I like Pittsburgh. I think, you know, if you go back to that last game, they played well enough to win. Unfortunately enough, 9 points was put up on the board when the defense was on the field. And you better believe the defense remembers that. They're upset about it. And I know Mike Tomlin is telling his team that they're the best team. They're not going to give up a kick return this year or this time around. They're not going to give up a safety this time around. They're going to win the game.
Rod, really appreciate you taking the time, and have a great week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.